now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Launches one from way downtown, and he laces another one. Damian Lillard with 14 points this quarter, and that bomb from 38 feet out.
Bucks Talk starts now.
And inside, blocked by Allen at the rim, and that could just about seal it.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
All right, 1-6 to start the season. Suboptimal would be the word, I think, to describe it. I don't want to give a hard sell on moral victories, but I do feel much better about these last two games, Brandon. You know, I think for the most part, you played seven pretty good quarters against a really good team. And, you know, tonight it was a bad second quarter that really doomed them. I think the big thing tonight without Giannis and without Chris was, look, if they don't get run off the floor, and it's amazing that we're even to this point, but if they don't get run off the floor, I feel like, again, I don't want to use moral victory, but I feel like, all right, that's a step forward, and that's pretty much where we're at. You know, two straight games that you had a chance to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are still unbeaten at 8-0, but as much as we can say, okay, it feels like it's headed in the right direction, and, you know, Doc Rivers was adamant. After the game, we can get to his comments there. But even a couple of days ago saying, you know, he has confidence that a run is going to be coming. He feels it with this group and everything that they've worked on and gone through in practice, that I think there's hints of that. But you're 1-6. You know, like, it's one thing to start to play better and say, okay, I see the framework. I see the skeleton of what's in there with this team. But you just got to start to win these games. You know, I know Eric Name threw that out. I forget what the number was, but it's not a lot in terms of the number of teams. I think it was 12 that have made the playoffs.
12 out of 150. Yep.
Okay, after a 1-6 start. And Doc immediately shot it down of, look, we're not concerned about not making the playoffs. This team is going to make the playoffs. And I know they're 15th in the East right now and could potentially be tied for 30th in the NBA, depending on what the Utah Jazz do tonight. But that's where I'm at, too. I think the one thing you really have to start to question is, okay, coming into the season, I think all of us thought 2, 3, maybe 4 seed. How soon before you have to start to realistically say, okay, well, 2 and 3 are gone. 4 might be gone, too. Like, are we looking at 5, 6? Could this team potentially be in the play-in tournament?
I think at this point, Justin, it's just, I don't want to get, like, too far ahead and get in front of my skis, but I feel like for a 1-6 start and the numbers that Eric named throughout, it's almost just be healthy at the playoff time. We've been in those positions where we've been a 2 and 3 seed, and we just haven't been healthy. And it matured into a first-round loss to Miami and a first-round loss to Indiana. So for me, it's just at this point in where we have been since 2021 is just get to the dance healthy. Get there with your guys. Have Chris Middleton log in a bunch of games, you know, leading up to the playoffs and have him be ready to go. Have Dame and Giannis continue to do what we saw in that game against Cleveland on Saturday night, I believe it was Saturday night, where they played off of each other very, very well. If I have that and I have Chris Middleton, and like I've been on this show and have talked to you off air, I want to see more A.J. Green. Give me more A.J. Green. Give me more A.J. Green. Give me more Andre Jackson Jr. I'm okay going into the playoffs with the play-in tournament. I'll take my chances with a guy like Damian Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton when and if healthy. As long as these guys and this team is healthy, I don't care how they get in, because we've seen this again. Sometimes it really doesn't matter what seed you are, especially in an Eastern Conference that, and you mentioned it on Saturday, that has all gotten better. Every single one of these teams have gotten better. I would take health right now over seeding, and it's easy for me to say that because it's a 1-6 start, but honestly, I would. I would, because I think this team is deep enough and more talented when healthy to go up against any team in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they almost knocked down, you mentioned it, a three-point deficit in two games against the best team in the NBA. And that's without them being fully healthy in both games. And in the second game, they were less healthy than they were in the first game.
I mean, they haven't been healthy for three straight years. You know, like that's
what I'm saying. Yeah, I would rather be healthy and than take seeding.
I mean, there's a lot to get to from tonight's game, but you know, we kind of threw out there, what do you realistically expect for this team in the first 10 games? And I think I had way back when said 6-4. Maybe they'll be 5-5, but I think they'll go 6-4, something like that, through these first 10. And now your best case scenario is 4-6 through those 10 games, which isn't the worst thing in the world. I think so. I'm trying to see who are these 12 teams. I believe two of them that made the playoffs after a 1-6 start are the 2021 Washington Wizards. And I believe that was just a play in tournament against Philadelphia that they made in the first round. And the 2019 Oklahoma City Thunder. I want to say, was that the year that Dame eliminated the Thunder with his?
That would have been 2019.
Yeah.
That would have been 2019.
I think those are two of the teams. I'm curious, and I'm going to effort this throughout the show to see who are these 12 teams and like how do the Bucks stack up against them? Is there anything that stands out among those teams? But I think we do have to spend some time on what we saw tonight. You know, we mentioned you liked what you saw. I think we started to find some things out about this team tonight. At least I hope so, especially some of the names that you mentioned. One in particular, 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. It's a 1-6 start for the Bucks. Neither of us are trying to profess, hey, got them right where you want them, right? Like, this is a good spot. There are definitely some positives to take from these two games, but it is not an ideal situation to be in. We both understand that. I think we all understand that. But it's still very early. Now, you can only say that for so long, right? Like, we can't be 20 games into the season and be saying, well, I mean, Bucks are, what, after 20 games, 4-16, but it's early. They'll figure it out. Like, at some point, it can't just be the process. It has to be results as well. But for the last 48 minutes, I do think you've seen a pretty good process. And look, even going back prior to that, the Memphis Grizzlies game was not good. I mentioned on the postgame show, you know, look, Memphis is actually playing okay so far this season. Same with Chicago. Same with the Brooklyn Nets, right? It's still disappointing to lose to those teams, especially given how much time we spent talking about these first 10 games, how difficult it is. I think everybody pointed to maybe not so much the Memphis Grizzlies because you anticipated they'd be healthy and they'd be much better this season, at least I did, but the Bulls, the Brooklyn Nets, the Jazz, like I feel pretty strongly the Bucks will win those games, and then it's a matter of what can you do in those other seven games. Can you go 3-4? Could you go 4-3 or better? And you lose two of those games. So that's the challenge that they put themselves in here. But I do think there's a lot to build on coming out of these last two games. So I do want to spend some time tonight talking about this rotation and what we learned, what it needs to look like. So if we were to craft sixth man, who plays what in terms of minutes, how does the rotation look for Doc Rivers when this Bucks team is fully healthy? 855-616-1620. That is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to your thoughts and share ours. We'll build out the rotations after this. All right, a 2-point loss for the Bucks. So six straight losses overall. It's the first time that's happened since March of 2015. But two straight losses to the Cavs by a combined total of 3 points. It literally went down to the wire Saturday night. It went down to the end of the game tonight. And, you know, especially playing without Giannis in this one, still without Chris, to come back from a 19-point deficit and take the lead, it's disappointing to give that up. You started to see more of what has really plagued this team for not just this season, but parts of last season as well. But the volume that you're seeing, some of those defensive issues, has drastically reduced in these last, certainly the last two games. And I would say for the most part, for most of three of the last four games. You can only point out the positives and moral victories for so long before you just have to see the results. But I saw some things tonight and Saturday night that I was very encouraged by. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Q in Milwaukee. You start things off.
Justin, I am feeling very optimistic here. I feel like we've really tapped in these last two games to Andre Jackson Jr. and as well as A.J. Green tonight. I think at the beginning of the season, we were just hoping that one of these young guys on the Bucks would start to contribute, and it seems like we're on that path right now. And to do this against what looks like to be like a top two or three seed in the East this year, I feel very optimistic. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm. I think overall, I'm there, or I'm close to there. Thanks for the call tonight, Q. You have to start to see the results now. So, you know, Brandon, to your point, you got to be healthy first and foremost. There's still some things, you know, I mentioned the defense, like there are still way too many turnovers, and we heard Doc Rivers kind of addressing that after the game tonight. The issue that the Bucks have had with these turnovers is most of them have been the live ball variety, which, you know, you're basically just gift wrapping a fast break to the opponent and putting them in transition. And that's an area where the Bucks have struggled, you know, in transition defense, not just this year, but last year as well. So, like, that's the biggest thing that needs to be cleaned up in my mind, because, you know, like, they're working on some of the defensive things. It's not as simple as, like, this guy sucks, or, like, this guy isn't trying. Why are they not doing this? Part of it is communication. Part of it is still, you know, figuring out who does what. And especially when you look at, as of right now, the starting lineup, 40% of it is new again, and guys that did things differently. So I do think you've seen some strides there. Rebounding has certainly gotten better. I think the offense has put the defense in a better spot in each of the last two games as well. But you have to protect the basketball.
Yeah, and we saw a couple of those late turnovers late in that game, to go to your point there, Justin, that kind of melted that game away tonight. But I am encouraged. You know, it's tough. Moral victories on a 1-6 start, and the numbers that Eric Name mentioned when talking to Doc Rivers makes it even feel even more frustrating. But I go back to the point where I think the schedule to start the season is really tough. The schedule to finish the season is very tough. But, like, the middle portion, the meat of the schedule is doable. Like, I think if they can get some guys healthy, and I think the key for me is Chris Middleton. And I know that's kind of like, well, no duh, the obvious one. But it alleviates so much pressure off of guys like Gary Trent Jr., who have struggled mightily to score the basketball. I think he's done a terrific job on defense, but 4 points in 21 minutes tonight. Taurean Prince, who's been fantastic, and kind of, quite frankly, the more of the surprise of the two when it comes to the free agent signings in the offseason. But it takes the pressure off those guys a little bit once Chris Middleton comes back. And when and if, you know, that's obviously a whole different conversation. But that's the big one for me, and that's why I mentioned it to start the show. My initial takeaway was, yeah, it's a tough loss. It's an encouraging loss. You saw really, really good things from guys like A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr., who a lot of Bucks fans, including myself, have been pounding the table to get minutes, because their energy alone infuses good things to happen. And Andre Jackson Jr., just got to say this because you and I have had this conversation, Justin, he's done such a terrific job in the last few games of playing defense and not following. I mean, he has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, AJ Green tonight shot the lights out of the ball. But you and I have mentioned it before. The thing with Andre, and Doc has mentioned it too, is like, man, you got to be able to play, but you can't be a hamper on the team or yourself while you're getting those minutes. And there was a game where he played 8 minutes. He had four fouls. You know, tonight, different story for him tonight, really, the last few games. So it's encouraging to see those parts. But, I mean, at what point do we draw the line in the sand and we're like, okay, you know, this date, this time, like, if we got to get something going here. Like, we can't have moral victories for a team with championship aspirations. Like, that, it's just not going to cut it. Especially when you got two of the top 75 players on your team, and I know Giannis didn't play tonight, but, oof, man, it's tough. It is. I agree with Q. It is encouraging. It is. It is. Nobody gave him a chance tonight. They crawled out of a 19-point hole. They were scrappy. They were resilient. They responded to every Cavs run. They were fantastic. Pat Connaughton, maybe the best game he's played all year. But at some point, we got to get to the other side of these games, because if we don't, the hole is just going to become too deep.
I know that's what Doc said. I thought Pat was just as good and not better opening night in Philly, but it was a really good game from Pat Connaughton.
Yeah.
Andre, to your point, zero fouls tonight.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, I think Andre has – he's given you positives in the last, what, three games? If in no other area than his athleticism and his youth. And, you know, I think – the point we probably reached after the Memphis game, and frankly, I was a little surprised that it took us this long to get here. I mean, I know I've been, would be the right word, to not a skeptic, but I've had concerns about heavy minutes for Andre just because of the offensive fit. You know, like, there's no denying the defense and the energy and the athleticism. But I think at this point, you just need it. You know, like, it's just... throw them in the deep end, and we trust you'll figure out how to swim. Like, because that's where they're at in terms of the age and everything else with this group. But to me, tonight was about AJ Green. And yeah, that's the bigger question that I had, even more so than Andre Jackson, was, and why isn't AJ Green playing as much to start the season, especially given everything we heard Doc and John Horst say about him in the offseason, what you saw from him last year. I was talking to somebody yesterday who had this conversation with Doc and had asked, you know, like, what do you think about AJ? And this was late last year. What do you think about AJ Green? Like, what do you think his role is, or like, how would you assess his defense? Because that's what's going to carve out the playing time for him. We know he can shoot. And Doc had said he's not just adequate. He's an above average defender. I think you saw that tonight with some of his closeouts.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the absolutely. Way that, I mean, look, some guys are going to be more athletic than him and are just going to beat him. I think we saw that once or twice with Darius Garland. But it's not going to be a blow-by like we've seen this team give up as if it was, you know, handing out Halloween candy. You got to work to beat him. He's not going to beat himself. And I was a little confused why we weren't seeing a lot of him. Games like tonight are, I don't want to overreact, but games like tonight can kind of be the start of something where it's, okay, I think we learned something, and I think we saw these guys have to play this many minutes. Even when we get healthy, we got to figure out how to find spots for them on the floor, because this worked against a really good team in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter. Like, these guys were our spark plug. So we have to figure out a rotation that makes sense with this. And I thought it was interesting that, you know, you look at all the new guys that you signed in the offseason. Torian Prince played 15 minutes tonight. I didn't think it was too bad, but just 15 minutes for Torian Prince. 21 minutes from Gary Trent Jr., who's still just mired in a slump. DeLon Wright played 4 minutes. And I know Doc Rivers said a couple games ago that DeLon Wright... I mean, he didn't outwardly name DeLon Wright, but if you read between the lines, he was referring to DeLon Wright that still wasn't totally healthy, was on a bit of a minutes restriction. 4 minutes isn't a minutes restriction. So that was kind of curious. But I think I think most Bucks fans would probably say I'm disappointed in what I've gotten from DeLon Wright and what I've gotten from Gary Trent Jr. I still don't think what we're seeing now from DeLon Wright, that that's the finished product, especially how effective he was against the Celtics in the playoffs last year and just what he's done throughout his career. And, you know, Gary Trent, Doc said it before the game tonight, too. I'm not going to believe that a guy that has done this throughout his career and has been a lethal shooter throughout his career and an offensive player throughout his career, that it's just over with and he can't knock down shots, especially when he's 26 years old. So I get that you watch these games and you think, man, another one, like 1 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 3 on his threes. Like what? And you saw a couple of those ones where he was trying to do more than just catch and shoot, but just couldn't get it to drop. And you could feel for him like, man, nothing is going your way right now. It's going to end. I mean, this is not who Gary Trent Jr. is, but in the interim, I think you've seen enough tonight to know, okay, it's not so much a short leash because Gary Trent Jr. is a starter. I don't see a scenario where A.J. Green gets put in the starting lineup and let's just get Gary Trent Jr. going off the bench. But, like, those are the opportunities for A.J. Green of, like, well, if this is another night where we don't have it, we need a spark. All right, AJ, you're the first one up, and you get the first crack at this.
Yeah, and I believe AJ was the first one off the bench tonight, right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean Bobby started, and I don't think that's going to change much either. I know a lot of Bucks fans are kind of on Bobby's case lately, but he gave you 21 and 18 tonight. You would like a few of those later positions to be a little bit tighter, but 21 points and 18 rebounds from Bobby Portis against those bigs for Cleveland was, I thought he was terrific tonight. So shout out to Bobby for a fantastic game. But I think that's, I don't know, Justin. I think you got to have serious conversations after tonight. And obviously it's only one game, but I don't know how you, if this continues where you just say A.J. Green, just you're not going to start him just because Gary Trent Jr. has the name recognition. I mean, I gotta go with the younger guy. I don't know how much younger AJ Green is than Gary Trent Jr., but I gotta go over the production, man. I mean, what was it? 7 threes tonight? What did he finish with? Was it 7, right?
Yeah.
I mean, has Gary Trent eclipsed 7 for the season? I don't think so. And it's not a knock on him because I was really big on that signing. I thought, especially for the value that John Horst got Gary Trent Jr., I thought that was one of the underrated signings throughout the whole NBA free agency this summer. I thought it was fantastic. And obviously Gary Trent Jr. is a better defender, I think, than A.J. Green, but A.J. Green can hold up and he's a try-hard guy. I mean, you are going to get everything. Those are hard 34 minutes he played tonight. Those are tough 34 minutes tonight. He's going to battle for loose balls. He's going to fight through contact. I mean, not that Gary Trent Jr. doesn't, but the flip side is that A.J. Green gave you 21 points and 6 rebounds. I mean, at some point, something's got to change, right? Like, you keep – and I know the schedule's tough, and I know they don't have everybody. But at some point – and I think you mentioned it before that his number – he's actually not great when Giannis is on the floor, A.J. Green, that is, which really shocks me. But at some point, I think – I mean, if you keep this stretch, hopefully you can knock off Utah on Thursday night at home. But then, like you mentioned, the schedule kind of just gets a little tougher from there. At some point, I don't know. I think I might. At what point does it not? What does it bother? I mean, you're 1-6.
You don't. I mean, the thing is, 10 games is not the pull the plug. Like, I mean,
if you're 1-9, it is.
No, it's not.
I would disagree.
10 games is not a pull the plug on this guy that we signed in the offseason. Like,
for a vet minimum contract, though. But Justin,
it doesn't matter. And like your point of, well, you go to the young guy. A.J. Green is 7 months younger than Gary Trent Jr.
Did you say younger or older?
Younger.
There you go.
7 months, guy. Brandon. It's not play like he's 5 years.
But what happens,
they are the same age.
Look what happens when you have played your younger talent. I would rather see A.J. Johnson up
your
at this point.
To your point, what happens when you played your younger talent? You still lost the game. Like, if that's the large picture you're looking at.
Right, but overall, I think this is... It was more of an encouraging loss. You outside of Darius Garland's 39, nobody else on Cleveland, Justin, scored over 20 points. Not a single one of them. So it was a fantastic game all the way around. If Darius Garland doesn't go off for 39, the Bucks win this game. I mean, it was
I'm not disputing what we've seen from AJ and that we need to see more of AJ. And
right.
I mean, I still wonder if, I think this kind of came up last year. I remember talking about it a little bit on the show, but we think of Andre as a point guard, but I still wonder if...
I don't know if he has a position.
Well, I mean, I hate to even invoke the name because of the connotations that come with it, but I still wonder if he's kind of like a Ben Simmons type for you, and mm-hmm. he's more of a four, and you play him in the front court there and utilize him in the dunker spot. And, I mean, he was 2 of 3 on threes tonight. I think both of those came from the corner. I think he took 2 above the break. You know, teams are going to leave him open with those. That's always going to be the challenge of him on the floor with Giannis. But I wonder if he's more of a forward in a front court player than he is there. So to me, you know, if we're really saying, hey, one of these guys has to play, to me, it's AJ Green. Like, if you're telling me only one can play, okay, it's AJ Green. I've seen enough from him defensively. He's not the defender that Ajax is, but I think overall, he has the most well-rounded game of any of these young guys that they have. He plays enough defense. He's not bad. He's not a bad defender. And, you know, especially as this team was going, that's what jumped out to me the most, Brandon, was when this team just could not buy a bucket for 3-4 games that we didn't see AJ Green coming off the bench. So, I'm, you know, stretches like this, I mean, that's kind of how we saw him stick in the rotation a year ago. And I know we said it's deeper team, it's better. And that was always going to be the challenge for any of these young guys when you bring in those guys that you did in Torian Prince, who's been pretty good so far this year, and Gary Trent Jr., who I'm nowhere near close to giving up on, DeLon Wright. Like, you have guys that are going to play. Giannis and Dame played 73 games last year. Like, that was always going to be the toughest part for Ajax, for AJ Green, any of these young guys to find any type of playing time behind that. But I think we've reached the point, not only with the record, but everything that we kind of feared coming into, of like, how is an old team going to look? You just have to play him. You know, like, I think, what, it was over 30 minutes tonight that we saw from AJ. Like, I was talking about it with someone else during the game. I think from this point forward, you just have to figure out, how do we play him 20 to 25 minutes? And, you know, the other guys, we work in around them, but, like, he's become a staple of maybe not your seventh man, but, like, it's up there in terms of the rotation of, we got to make sure he gets consistent minutes, and he's going to be an important part of our bench. And you ride the hot hand the rest of the way. If it's a matchup-based thing where, okay, we can find 10 to 15 minutes for Pat Connaughton here, or we can squeeze in more Ajax minutes, but, you know, he's got to be a staple for that second unit.
I 100% agree. And I mean, a part of the solution is, and I just mentioned him in the positive, is Pat Connaughton. I mean, he had 22 minutes tonight. I think that's where you get some of those minutes. DeLon Wright's, that was a weird game as far as minutes go with Ryan Hollins doubling his time. But I just think outside of Bobby, AJ Green's got to be your next guy in there. You can never have enough shooters on the court, especially with the spacing with Damian Lillard and Giannis. And I think and eventually when Chris comes back. And I like AJ Green's defense. It's not the greatest, but I like it, man, because it's
not bad, you know?
Like, no, it's just I know this is like, I don't know, maybe this sounds like a dumb comment, but I just like watching his defense. Like, you know what you're going to get. You know what you're going to get out of him. He doesn't take plays off. Not that anybody else necessarily does. But you are getting everything out of AJ Green that he has to offer, every single possession. And I respect that, and I like that. And Doc mentioned it. He's earned it. And look what happened tonight. You know, in 34 minutes, he had 21 points. And outside of Damian Lillard, you know, he tied for the second highest scorer on this team. I thought he was fantastic. And you got to see more of it. And I hope going forward that you slide Pat Connaughton down a little bit in that rotation. Things will change a little bit when Chris Middleton comes back, obviously. But late in the game too, Justin, and this can obviously be another conversation for another day, though, I want him in there. I want him in there. I absolutely, without a doubt, want AJ Green in there in a late game situation.
855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. So I do want to try to piece together the rotation and what it could or should look like when this team gets healthy. On that front, we still don't know on Chris Middleton, but Doc Rivers did talk a little bit about that before the game. So I do want to get to those comments and what his return means for this rotation, how you piece together minutes with Chris back, and who might actually be the player that's at risk of losing minutes in Chris's return. My answer may surprise you. We'll get into that coming up after this on Bucks Talk. Ain't no way they can stop
me now. All right, so we still have no clarity
on Chris Middleton's return. Before the game, Doc Rivers had said that we're hoping to get him going, and didn't say he was close, but said he's closer, and said we're hoping to get him going. We got 2 days off, which is a good thing, so it gives us the opportunity to go 2-on-2 and 3-on-3 and some 5-on-5 stuff, referring to basically practice. You know, he said last week that this wasn't a case of, okay, once the ramp-up process is there, we got to send Chris to Oshkosh, and he's going to work out with the herd and get in on some 5-on-5. That, like, no, we got a couple of off days coming up. And that's kind of how weird their schedule is, that they have, I think, at least one back-to-back in each of the next 3 weeks, including this week. But they have, like, pockets of 2 days off built in around each of those. So you do have some of these opportunities. But no real update in terms of where he's at. All we know is he hasn't done any 5-on-5. I don't think he's done anything other than 3-on-3 work so far during training camp. But, you know, when he comes back, and maybe it's just an optimist in me, but, like, I still don't envision this being like, oh, it's mid-December. When is Chris Middleton going to return?
Oh, mid-December. Come on, dude. He better be back before that.
So when he does...
I mean, there's got to be a point for you, though, right? Like, there's got to be a...
So let me... When he does come back, who do you think is whose minutes are going to be reduced the most?
If I had to guess, probably Taurean Prince. As far as starting now, probably Taurean Prince. But that's kind of like what I mentioned before. I mean, you're going to kind of see it trickle down to everybody, I think. I mean, it depends on how healthy he is. I would imagine he's going to have a minute restriction coming back and how long that's going to last. But I think Taurean Prince is going to get bumped down to the bench, and then I think you're going to kind of look at a little bit of everybody. A.J. Green, Pat Connaughton, Andre Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I would assume he's going to have a minutes restriction. I mean, he did last year.
Yeah.
All the way up until, I think it was like January, that we were starting to see him consistently playing around 30 minutes. I do not think it's Taurean Prince.
Okay.
Yeah, he's going to move out of the starting lineup, but I mean, he's playing 30 minutes a game, roughly, Taurean Prince is. I mean, that number is probably going to come down, but I think the guy that's most at risk of losing playing time when Chris Middleton returns is not Taurean Prince. It's not A.J. Green. It's not Andre Jackson Jr. I think it's Bobby Portis. And we've heard Doc talk about I had this conversation on a different show a couple of times throughout the summer, as early as a couple or as recently as a couple of weeks ago too, about the era of Chris Middleton's career that he's moving into. Like, are we sure he's not just kind of transitioning to a small ball four? I mean, he's still going to play the three, and you're still going to have moments where you have, you know, your starting lineups that you envisioned, and you're going to have Giannis and Dame and Chris or Giannis and Chris and Brooke in the front court. But I just think, given the leg injuries that he's had, the age that he's had, you know, I mean, we already started to see it. It happens with everyone. It's not just Chris Middleton. Father Time is unbeaten. He's not the perimeter defender he once was. And you can't expect him to be anymore. That I think we may be moving towards a spot where his best usage may well be playing a small ball four next to Giannis. And maybe that means you're playing with Torian Prince out there too. And you're going with Giannis and Chris and Torian Prince and maybe AJ Green, Gary Trent Jr., who knows, DeLon Wright, where you feel like we can switch a lot of things here to maybe make up for if teams are targeting Dame. And you can't really do that with Bobby Portis. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater and Bobby Portis is terrible. Like, I know the numbers that have been going around, you know, with his on-off splits. It's not pretty. But I just think it's unfortunate for Bobby that you do wonder if his best usage was the old iteration of this team, where it was a defensive team and, you know, you needed Bobby Portis to give you that punch off the bench. Now the way it's set up, you got 75 points 2 games ago from Giannis and Dame. You got 36 tonight from Dame. Like, you're going to get scoring from your starting five, especially when Chris Middleton is back. You're not worried about the offense with that group. And once Gary Trent Jr. gets going too and hitting shots, you're not worried about the offense. So your second unit needs to be a group that, like we saw in the early days of Mike Budenholzer, you know, the Bucks didn't have a great scoring bench. It was a group where it was, hey, we're going to give you the lead, don't give it up. Or at least don't give up all of it. And I think that's kind of where we're at. Of when you make those substitutions, you need defense. And you're building that we're buying rest for Giannis or Dame. Like, we just need to play defense and score off of turnovers and transition points and things of that nature. We don't necessarily need a back-to-the-basket score. And I think that's kind of where we're at. I think the numbers have reflected that for both Bobby and the team. And, you know, Doc has even hinted at it of, we like going small. He talked about it in the first matchup against the Cavs of some of their small ball lineups. We saw more of it tonight, too, until you just absolutely couldn't do it. I had a few people reach out on Twitter, too, like, you can't play this group. You can't run up and down the floor when you're playing Brooke and Bobby. And, like, no, you can't. But you also can't play small when they have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the floor.
Yeah.
You're going to get thrashed. So I just kind of, I wonder if viewing it that way, listening to Doc talk about small ball lineups and some of the groupings that they like, that they've seen some of so far, but he himself said, you know, a lot of this is for when we get Chris back, and that's when we can really go small, and hinting at Chris playing the four. I just feel like Bobby Portis is probably the guy most at risk of losing minutes, and his role may become a kind of what we talked about with other guys when you talk about trying to just force AJ Green and maybe Ajax onto the floor and saying, well, some of the other guys, whether it's Pat Connaughton or someone else, you play the hot hand and you look for the matchups where this makes sense. Like, I wonder if we get to that point with Bobby where you're not saying we just got to trade him and we got to move on. Like, there is value there. But are we just going to try to play small more, and where it makes sense and where we have those types of matchups, yeah, that's a night where Bobby can play 25 to 30 minutes. But outside of that, we'd like to try to buy Chris some time to play him as our small ball four. And you can talk about wear and tear and defending not necessarily bigs, but players bigger than him. But what would you rather have, that or, hey, Chris, we need you to take the second toughest matchup on the perimeter and hold up, buddy?
I got two questions for you in relation to what you just said, because I don't necessarily disagree with you. However, thoughts on Chris Middleton? I'll ask the first one. I'll let you answer the first question.
All right, I think I know what you're asking, and the answer is no.
You think you know me so well, huh? Okay. What's my question then?
Is Chris Middleton coming off the bench?
And why not? What? Why not?
I mean,
he's going to be on a minute restrictions. You can have him late in the game on the court. That's
early,
really all that
maybe,
matters.
Early maybe, but like, you have to maximize his minutes with Giannis. So that,
he still can do that, though. I mean, Giannis comes out of the halfway through the first quarter.
Yeah, but it's
anyway.
Not as easy if you're bringing him off the bench. Because if he comes out of the first half, then Giannis is theoretically coming out as Chris Middleton is checking in.
I think there's a way to do it. And I think there's a way to utilize Chris Middleton more off the bench as opposed to, and I'm not disagreeing with the Bobby Portis thing. My other question for you.
Let me ask you this quick.
Go ahead.
Do you think he's one of their four best players?
Yes, I think so.
Why would you bring that player off the bench?
But I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anymore. Yeah, I mean, he looked against Indiana? Absolutely. Then he has ankle surgery late in the offseason, and now we don't even know if he can do – well, you just said it. He hasn't completed a five-on-five drill. Maybe he is. I mean, yeah, but hypothetically, yes.
I'm not saying you're saying this, but I also – I don't think that's a – he can't do it. You know, I think it's
– No, I hear you.
I think there's a lot of – I think a lot of this is – similar to what we're seeing in Philly, partially what we're seeing in Philly, because the update that we did get from Joel Embiid, he did kind of indicate this was more of I don't really have trust in my knee yet. And I don't think that's the case with Chris. I mean, just based on very, very, very little things that I have heard coming out of it, and if for no other reason than, if this is a, man, I'm nowhere close to ready, or I still need to go through a lot of conditioning and my ankles aren't good, you don't give that interview and the answers that he did to Eric Name, if that's the case. Sure. I do think most of this is the organization saying, let's protect him and let's be very, very cautious here and make sure we have this group optimized and ready to go for the playoffs because of what we said at the top of this show. It's three straight years. You have not been healthy, and in at least one of those years, if you're healthy, I think you're playing for another NBA championship. Maybe I'm crazy, but I think if they're healthy last year, they're in the conference finals against the Celtics, as up and down as they look. Yeah, so
I would agree.
I think a lot of it is that of we've seen three straight years of not being healthy. Let's maybe. Do everything we can to ensure that not only Chris, but everybody is healthy for the end of the season.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. It just feels like a crucial part of this season is when he comes back, because it so much is dependent on when he decides when he's going to come back.
Whoa.
I mean, there's
he decides. Oh man, now I see where you're
okay,
at.
Okay, you know what I didn't mean it like that. I'm just saying, this is a completely, in my opinion, if it's a healthy Chris Middleton, which we anticipate it is, if it's going to be the Chris Middleton we saw against Indiana, this is such a better team.
Yeah.
From a roster standpoint than what we have right now. But you're 1-6, man. I mean, at some point, we got to have the conversation of, we can't start. You laughed at me when I said it looks like a 2-10 start. I mean, we can't have a 3-15 start to the season, Justin. And still talking about, he's close. Chris Middleton's close. If it was a playoff game, he'd play, but we were not going to rush him back. Okay. At what point are we going to have the conversation of the dude has got to – I don't understand what the holdup is. First off, I don't know why the surgery was so late into the offseason. But the other part is I don't
know. We don't know when it was in the offseason.
Right. Well, it was reported that it was late August. So,
because Doc Rivers told us this during Summer League. And that was early July. That was the first week of July.
Okay. Well, then maybe he was cleared at the end of August. I don't know why at the end of August in my head. But nonetheless, it was later than when the season ended, correct?
He didn't have surgery during the playoffs.
Well, when did the season end, Justin? The season ended
April 30th.
Okay, so I mean, 3 months in between to decide to have surgery. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. What matters is when Chris Middleton comes back. That's really what this conversation is about. And at some point, there needs to be a serious conversation of why hasn't he done anything outside of 3-on-3 or above 3-on-3s. And when are we going to have the – I mean, he's traveling with the team. That's a good sign to me. He's got to be back sooner than later. I mean, we're not 6-1, my friend. I mean, we're off to a very – we're going to be playing for the worst record in the NBA on Thursday. Yes, it's only going to be November 7th, but that's also a very big concern that it's only November 7th. At some point, these games are – they matter. Well, they matter. Yes, it matters to being healthy. I mentioned that to start the show. But at some point, you got to start stringing some wins together, and he's a key piece into that rotation. And I mean, mid-December scares the hell out of me when you say that in reference to him coming back, because I thought he would have been back by now.
I'm not saying he's coming back in mid-December, or I project he's going to come back in mid-December. I'm just throwing that out there as a hypothetical. But I do think it's unfortunate, but the start has also done one very negative thing for Chris Middleton. We'll get into that conversation coming up next on Bucks Talk. All right, Brandon, we were talking about Chris Middleton, and you mentioned the angst that you have, I suppose would be the best way to put it. The one thing that I do feel very bad for Chris here is a 1-6 start has done him no favors in terms of the pressure now that is going to be heaped on him. And it's pretty important to clarify, Chris Middleton is not the savior of this group. But I think for everybody that's pointed to, well, they still don't have Chris. And it's easier to point to that after a 1-3 start. But it's an unenviable spot for him to be in now, to come back presumably on a minutes limit, a restriction, and also like, okay, not, maybe not save us, but we need you to pull us out of this hole because we're, you know, maybe 1-9, God forbid.
Oh, gosh. 1-9.
And by the way, the Utah Jazz just beat the Bulls, so it'll be a showdown between 1-6 teams on Thursday.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And I love Chris Middleton. I mean, I really do. He's been such a great story, you know, especially for, you know, what...
He was a throw-in in the Brandon James trade.
Basically just given up on, you know, in that trade. And he has turned his entire career around, his life around, and I couldn't be more happier for him. And it is definitely an unfavorable position. But it's one that, you know, when you sign that contract and the one that he signed, I mean, no, those are the expectations. And when you win a championship in 2021 and you have the best player in the world and then you go out and acquire Damian Lillard, those expectations are just going to keep crawling higher and higher and higher. And the 1-6 start has definitely hampered some of those. And a lot of people have given up on this team. A lot of people gave up on this team really before the season began. And it started kind of with Chris Middleton in that surgery and that injury that he had, where a lot of people doubted if he would ever be able to return. So I'm rooting for him to come back. My anger that I'm showing out tonight is because these games that we're losing are just excruciating as a fan, because they're winnable games, and you're not 100% healthy, but you're right there. And I think a guy like Chris Middleton pushes these games in a different direction. So yeah, it's frustrating. I hope they get him sooner than later, and I think, you know, I think that changes a lot of things, especially the 1-6 start.
All right, it's a very interesting night in the league. We only get nights like this, I think, twice each season. A lot of important scores in the early going for all 30 teams playing tonight. We'll update you on that after this on Bucks Talk. All right, all 30 teams playing in the NBA this evening, as there's no games tomorrow with it being Election Day. I think the only other time we get this all season is the final day of the regular season, and they staggered all the tips tonight by 15 minutes. That's why this Bucks game was so early. 6 o'clock tip, but it literally tipped at 6. Usually the standard tip time is 10 after or 40 after. It gets a little wonky when you have an ESPN game or a TNT game, but tonight it was literally 6 o'clock. We're done pretty early. Some notable scores out there. I mentioned the Utah Jazz have finally won. They beat the Chicago Bulls. So the Jazz are 1-6. You will have the 1-6 Jazz versus the 1-6 Bucks Thursday night. The Nets beat the Grizzlies. So both those teams are 4-4 on the early season. The Pistons are 3-5. They beat the Lakers, who started 3-0 and are now 4-3. And the Houston Rockets have just polished off a win over the New York Knicks. So the highly touted New York Knicks, and I think we talked about this, Brandon, My big hesitation with going all in on the Knicks was not only year, I think four of the Tom Thibodeau experience and how much we can see guys just start to get grinded down, but it's a pretty lofty change to change up how much you do things this early to the start of the season. Almost to the day of when the Bucks traded for Damian Lillard is when we saw that Karl Anthony Towns trade go down, and you basically reshaped your team from a defense-first team to a, now we have Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. We're going to be an offensive team that can play defense. When did we last hear that?
Yeah.
No?
No kidding.
And look what it did for the Bucks. So the Knicks are now 3-3. And look, it's early. I'd much rather be 3-3 than I would 1-6. But we have the potential for, after these games wrap up tonight, for three teams that got a lot of talk in the offseason, and really I'll lump in another one with the Indiana Pacers. We have the potential for the Knicks to be 3-3. The Bucks are 1-6. The Pacers could be 2-5. And the 76ers could be 1-5. Like, it's disappointing. But that's the biggest thing to circle to me. If you're hanging, you're like, yeah, I think a run is coming. It's early. It's certainly not ideal to be 1-6. But let's just look around ourselves right now. Like, I do think teams like the Pistons and apparently the Bulls are going to be better. Like, I was stunned to see the Chicago Bulls are attempting the third most three-pointers in a game this season for a team that did not attempt them basically at all last season. But if you're the Bucks and you look around and you say, who are the teams right now that are out of the play-in tournament, wouldn't even be into that mix? It's us, the Sixers, the Pacers are three of those five teams on the outside looking in. You know, the Hawks, the Pistons, those teams are a game and a half in front of you. The Magic are two games in front of you. So it's disappointing, but it's early in a handful of teams, maybe not quite to the levels of you, but have also been disappointing. And that's what's left the door open. At this point, you're not going to be the one seed. You know, like, I don't think anybody envisioned that coming into the season, but you're not going to be the one seed. You're probably not going to be the two seed. It's probably going to be pretty tough to be the three seed, because I think when we referenced the 12 teams that have made the playoffs after a 1-6 start, I think I saw the best record was 47 wins.
Correct.
47 wins isn't going to get you the three seed, I don't think. Like, you're probably, at this point, looking at a four seed, five seed maybe, and that's fine if you're healthy. So that's my big don't panic yet. Like, I understand we're starting to get to the end of the runway, but I'm still not panicked yet because of what's taking place around them.
No, I'm not there yet either. I think that's an optimistic viewpoint you have that I can appreciate usually when the sky is falling down from my point of view. So I appreciate that for ending my night on a positive note, because I think that is a something that I did not look at was around us. We talk a lot about the Eastern Conference getting better, but the teams that we talked about that we thought were going to be a challenge are the teams that you just named that are right kind of there with the Bucks.
Yeah,
like, and they had the hardest schedule to start the season.
Nets, Wizards, Pistons, they're all playoff teams right now.
Yeah.
The Heat, and the Bulls, you know, like, maybe not all, but some of those teams are going to fall out of the pack. The Nets are not going to be a play-in team. They do not want to be a play-in team. So teams are going to start to fall back, but you have to do something as well. You have to be an active participant in your own rescue. And I think we've taken some steps towards that the last two games, but now you have to take larger steps and start winning.
Yeah, and I think the schedule will play a big part in that. Justin, I think you and I have
talked
about it
before. Let's hope.
Yeah, it's going to – I agree. This has been a brutal 10-game stretch for the Bucks. Like, this is – I don't have a good memory off of schedules and when it comes to the NBA – but I have a hard time envisioning the Bucks having a tougher 10-game
stretch. Well, I mean, like last year.
To begin.
Last year. To begin a season, sure. But just
I mean to begin a season. I don't remember. I know the year they won the championship, they had one home game, and then they went on like a 4 or 5 game road trip after that. Thanks a lot, NBA. But I don't have a good memory that serves me well to say that this is probably one of the harder stretches to start a season that any team has ever had. coming into a season. Now, maybe not ever, but to start, it's been tough, and it's been ugly. But there's been some winnable games. There's been games where we weren't favored to be even close, and we were, and that was what you saw tonight. So those are encouraging things. I think the big thing with this team is just you got to start carving out roles, I think, more definitively for players. And I think when you get fully healthy, that will come. But I'm just worried at what point are we just like, man, we're 3-15, you know, or we're 4-16 or whatever. That's my fear, is if we dig ourselves too deep of a hole. Because it is, I agree, it comes down to health. If they're healthy and they're in the playoffs, that's a whole different conversation. I'm not saying they're not going to get to the playoffs. Doc Rivers, his comment kind of eased a little bit of my anxiety when it came to that, and he's not worried about the playoffs either. But, I mean, one win in seven tries, albeit the schedule being tough, you'd like to see that change, and hopefully it changes Thursday.
All right, we will wrap up the show, preview what's up next for the Bucks, the final three games in this difficult stretch, and maybe find some more optimism after this on Bucks Talk. All right, Brandon, let me see what's final here. So the Sixers are 1-4. They may lose tonight. Who knows? They'd be 1-5 if they did, and at least it would make you feel somewhat better if, well, at least Philly's dealing with it too.
Yeah, it would.
The Knicks are 3-3, which seems like, hey, man, that's an entirely different state. It's not just a different neighborhood than 1-6. But the Magic are getting their doors blown off by, I think, the best team in the league in the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's a close game between the Suns and the Sixers about to head into halftime. So, again, my big takeaway is what we just went through. Sixers might be 1-5. They could be 2-4. Knicks are 3-3. Pacers could be 2-5. They might be 3-4. Magic are about to be 3-5. You're 1-6. It's not great, but the Celtics and the Cavs are the two teams that have come out swinging, and those are the two teams that you have the most faith. I mean, that's even the... You have absolute faith that those two teams are going to be there until the end. So that leaves a pretty open field for the rest of the group to figure things out and start to piece together wins. Like, 3-3 is not what the Knicks envisioned after that trade. And as we just said, Bucks fans would kill for 3-3 right now. Pacers, after the conference finals run, they thought, we figured it all out. They did not envision 3-4 or 2-5, you know? Sixers, I get it's the biggest question mark of all these teams with Paul George making his debut tonight, but still no Joel Embiid. Like, they didn't envision 1-4 in that offseason. But the door is open because of that, because of teams still struggling to put things together. And, you know, no disrespect, but teams that I don't think any of us would have suggested had staying power in the top part of the playoff mix, in the Brooklyn Nets, in the Chicago Bulls, maybe the Miami Heat. You think, like, there's no way the Heat are anything but a play-in tournament team. The Wizards and Pistons are in the play-in tournament as of right now. So it's not going to look like this at the end of the season. But the big takeaway, you cannot overstate it enough. You have to be an active participant in your own rescue. Like, you have to start winning games now. You can't just say, okay, other teams are going to start to fall back and, like, we'll win some games here. Like, no, it's not like must-win situation, but now's where you need the urgency of, like, okay, you know, Doc said, we're 1-6, but you win 3 or 4 straight games and you're 4-6 or 5-6. Like, all of a sudden, conversation, yeah, it starts to lessen of, like, oh, not hearing it quite as much. But you have to do that, you know? So, like, I would love to see 2-1 to wrap up these last three games of that difficult stretch. If you do that, 3-7 is certainly not ideal. I mean, I'd love to see 3-0, if we're being honest. But if you can go 2-1, 3-7 is not ideal. The schedule does get softer after that. The caveat is we've seen the Bucks struggle with those teams this year and in recent years. But that, I mean, coming off of a potentially 3-7 or anywhere from 1-9 to 4-6 start to the season, if you don't approach those games with urgency, then I think we may know who this team is very, very early in the season.
I'll lower the bar here for you, Justin. I'll just go 1-0 on Thursday. Just go 1-0 on Thursday. I just need to see the score, the final buzzer hit with the Bucks with more points than the opposing team. And I think, Justin, with one win, this, and I think 3-0, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself after just saying go 1-0, but I think a win for this team, albeit a veteran-led team, I think a win will do a lot of good things for this team. I think when they get that next win, which I anticipate it will be on Thursday, I think this team is going to kind of take a deep breath, kind of look in the mirror and kind of get back to, okay, we are the Milwaukee Bucks. We have a really good roster. We have a championship-level head coach. And it's been a rough start, but we're back on track. And I think that's why it's been frustrating these last two games against Cleveland, is because both of them, you thought they were the better team in both of those games, especially tonight. Even though they didn't have Giannis, I thought at some point in that fourth quarter when they were up 7 points and Damian Lillard didn't get into the game until 6:29 in that final quarter, you're like, holy cow, they're going to do this. And I think that's, you just need to see that one win, after the 6-game losing streak. And I think things will start to kind of turn around for them. They just need one, and I think it's going to happen Thursday.
Thursday night, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz. Boy, what a scenario in bizarro world.
Popcorn ready.
We've walked into of the two worst records in the league. The Bucks and the Jazz, both 1-6 now. Thursday night from Fiserv Forum. 7 o'clock tip for that game. 6:30 is when the network pregame coverage begins, with myself and Dave Kane. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk with myself and Brandon. We will talk to you then.